Hi there. I'm David Culver, Vice President of U.S. Government Relations at Canopy Growth, once again joining you from Washington, D.C. Welcome back to Under the Canopy. This week, I'm thrilled to be joined by the one and only David Crosby. Music legend David Crosby is best known for being a founding member of two noteworthy rock bands, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, and of course, the Byrds. Crosby is a member of both the Rock and Roll and Songwriters Hall of Fame, as well as a Grammy Award-winning singer, songwriter, guitarist, author, and activist. A cross-cultural icon, generations of fans from all walks of life know and love David's music, which is still heard by millions around the world each day and will be for many decades to come. Crosby is also the founder of his own brand of cannabis, the Mighty Cross, and an advisory board member of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, or NORML, a nonprofit organization based here in Washington, D.C. Through continued state-level and national advocacy, NORML aims to legalize marijuana and pushes for widespread marijuana reform, as well as increased measures to preserve consumer access, safety, and affordability. I hope you enjoy what will undoubtedly be a lively discussion. I'm honored to welcome David Crosby and you under the canopy. Thanks so much for being with us. David Crosby, welcome to Under the Canopy. Thank you so much for being with us today.
My pleasure, man. Thank you.
Okay, well, with the election next week and with the possibility for significant reforms in the cannabis space, we have a lot of ground to cover, David. But before we dive in, how are you and your family doing?
Well, it's tricky for singer-songwriters. This is not a good time for us. Streaming kind of took away our money from records. They don't pay us for beans. And so then we all depended on live, to keep us going and pay the rent. And then comes along COVID, and we can't work live. So it's put all of the musicians out of work, and there's no help for us at all. Nobody's trying to help us for squat. It's bad for me, but it's a lot worse for the young musicians trying to make a living right now. They're sleeping on their mother's couch because they can't pay their rent. It's very hard times for us.
Yeah, it's a tough situation for sure. So, David, speaking of singing and songwriting, which you have done a great deal of, and I'm a fan of all of it, I'm curious if there is a song that you wrote at the beginning of the cannabis movement that would particularly resonate right now.
I was thinking about that. I mean, because I don't remember, I guess 8 Miles High. 8 Miles High was one of the first songs that got listed as being a drug song, and they tried to take it off the air. It was a hit anyway, but it came out at the same time as Dylan put out Everybody Must Get Stoned. And they were both listed together as being drug songs, and they tried to take them off. I think that's the first one. Did I write any others about getting high? I don't know. I've wrote so many songs that I don't remember another one that's specifically about that. I've written a lot of stuff about the attitude, almost cut my hair kind of attitude. And I am told that that influenced people and, about their choices and how they lived their life. I hope it did. I approve of it. I approve of it. If you ask me, I will tell you why I think it's going to be legal. Go ahead and ask me. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yes, for sure. Tell us why we're going to legalize.
Well, here's the thing. You've paid in your income tax to the federal government. Federal government collects it all. And over the years, the federal government sends some of that money down to the states for health, education, and welfare kind of things. That pipeline down to the states has always been constricted. The states never get enough money. This particular federal government doesn't want to send any money down that pipeline to any black people, any brown people, any young people, any old people, any people except themselves, basically. That's really the situation now. And so at the bottom of that pipeline are all the states starving for money, and they're watching Colorado and Oregon. Now, Colorado and Oregon can build a school or a road or a hospital today. They can write the check and it will not bounce. They have state-controlled, underlined, write it in fiery letters 3 feet high, state-controlled tax money. Now, all the other states are standing there watching this. Now, in those states, there's two kinds of politicians. One kind is the right kind. They're trying to represent the people who elected them. They're trying to do the right by them, and they know that this money would help them do that because it is state-controlled tax money. The other kind of politician knows that they can steal some off of the bottom if the huge amount of money is going by. They'll peel some off the bottom one chiselly way or another and get it. Either way, they want that money coming to the state really badly. So it is my belief that you're going to see all the states legalize it because of the money, not for the right reasons, not because nobody should go to jail for something that's like beer and wine. They are going to legalize it for the money. And I believe that that's going to happen very fast. I think at a federal level, you're going to see it get legalized because the banks are pissed. All that money is going to Canadian banks. They are not happy about Canopy. they don't want you guys getting all the money. They want the money down here in America. I'm fine with it being Canada. I like Canada. That's another force. And I think between those forces, I think monetarily, you know, I don't think there's any question about what's going to happen. It's going to get legal. And I wish it were for the right reasons. I wish it were because they have finally figured out that, no, it isn't like heroin. And no, it's actually kind of like beer and wine. And it is okay for us. And we actually find a lot of good, you know, really, really good things about it, and reducing stress and good, being able to go to sleep and all kinds of good stuff. It's going to change. I believe firmly it's going to change. I'm betting on it because that's what, you know, I'm designing Mighty Cross to be a company to work for the entire country, not just state by state.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. States all across the country have ballooning budget deficits and they need the tax revenue badly. I think we're going to see more and more states look at it next year for that very reason. David, are you still on Normal's board? And I'm curious why that organization has been so important to you.
I am, and I want to continue to be, because Normal is continuing to try and decriminalize. I want to see every single person that's in jail for marijuana out. Out now. Jail is bad, man. I did a year in a Texas state penitentiary, okay? And it's a bitch.
I also feel like there's a great deal of momentum behind the decriminalization of cannabis. Can you comment on that?
Well, yes, we had a really, really big win in the vice presidential debate. Kamala Harris said, we're going to legalize it. We're going to let the people go who are in jail for it. We're going to make it legal. And I've been trying to convince the Biden campaign since they started. Very, very loudly, vocally, talking to everyone who I could find and saying, listen, 18 to 25s are not voting. And if we get them to vote on this issue, they will change the dynamic. So what I need you to do is come out and say you're going to legalize it. And then we will get a whole bunch of young voters that we will not get otherwise. They are not going to vote unless there's an issue that they care about. And they care about that one. So I don't know where they heard me, or they heard a ton of other people who told them the same thing. But the result is they are now saying that they're going to, and I think that's going to change our world.
Yeah, I agree with that too. So David, let's fast forward to next week, and it's the morning after the election, and you get invited to the White House to sit down with the president-elect. What is it that you tell him about why cannabis reform is so critical?
That no one should be in jail for it in the first place. That's absolutely an an unconscionable thing to do. People who smoke marijuana are generally people who don't have a lot of money, and it's their pleasure. You know, it's if you can't afford beer, marijuana is pretty good because you can raise it yourself. We love to smoke it, and we think that it's good for us. It's how I sleep. That, you know, it's better than the stuff they sell in the drugstore. I could give you a long list of reasons why all the friends that I have smoke it one way or another. I actually don't really smoke it. I vaporize it in a PAX 3, which works better for me. But I love it. It's a good part of my life. It has been for probably close to 60 years. And hasn't killed me, hasn't derailed me. I've done all the other drugs, and they were very bad to me. And pot is the one that wasn't. It doesn't seem to have harmed me at all, even though I've been doing it. Well, I've been smoking pot as long as I haven't been making love to girls. That's a long time.
Okay, switching gears a bit. We've seen a significant uptick in activism this year. I'm curious what you're telling young people right now.
I try to tell particularly young people to participate in the democracy. And it's tough. It's a tough sell because they're watching a broken democracy right in front of them. But I believe in it wholeheartedly. It's, you know, we've tried everything else. We've tried monarchy. We've tried juntas. We've tried every kind of dictator. And democracy is the only one that gives the little guy a shot. The only one. And there's two ways to do democracy. You can do it the way we do it here, which I don't really like because of the two-party lockup. Or you can do it as parliamentary democracy, the way they do it in Western Europe and Canada. And that seems to work very well because they have coalitions of parties. They have many, many parties. And you have to form a coalition. And it means you have to make sense to the other people there in order to be a part of the government. That's a kind of working everywhere in Western Europe and in Canada and a bunch of other places. I like democracy. I believe in it. And I think that that's the thing we need to try and get across to young people all across the country, that it does work if you participate, and it's really the right thing.
So, David, I know you are a cannabis connoisseur. I also know that you have been guiding some very famous people to some of the best weed in all parts of the globe for many, many years. I'm curious if you can give us some insight into one of those instances. I'm also curious if you can comment on some of the best weed that you've ever smoked.
Well, that's two different questions, yeah. The most fun I had with being the one with the good pot was with the Beatles. They're, you know, in England at that time, the way you got high was they smuggled hash into the country because it was much easier to smuggle. And you crumpled that up into your tobacco and you made a hash and tobacco cigarette out of it. And that's how they got high. They gave me one of those. And I said, not in your life. I ain't smoking no damn tobacco. You're crazy. Here, try this. Now, I had a friend who had just come back from Africa, a black actor whose name I will not say, but he's a really good guy. And he had brought back like a pound of African, really serious good weed. And I gave him some of that, and they had to sit down, man. They said, wait a minute. Wait a fucking minute. Excuse me. You're going to have to bleep that. But that was quite funny. They had never had weed like that, and it upped my stock with them quite a bit. That was made it a lot of fun. There's been a couple of standouts. Lately, I've had some Gorilla Glue that was pretty stupefying. It was really good. The most aggressively strong weed that I remember in recent memory, because memory is sort of just a memory, but I ran into one up in Canada called Kootenai. Can I say the F word on here?
Yeah, feel free.
It's called Kootenai Thunderfuck. And it was so strong that I decided the Mounties were coming to get me. And I had to call my road manager to take my stash and put it somewhere else because I was afraid the Mounties were going to break down the door. I wanted to hide under the piano and suck my thumb. It was just so strong, man. Couldn't believe it. There are strains, you know, that are just really good like that. I like it to also taste really great and smell really great, which is why I'm kind of a sativa, you know, I tend towards that. But I like all kinds of pot, man. We grew probably seven different kinds of pot this season. And we're just now, there's a trimming crew right outside the room here trimming right now.
Okay, we are almost out of time. David, thank you so much for being with us today. Before we do wrap up, do you have any parting thoughts that you would like to share with our audience?
Smoking pot's fun. Let it be fun. And try to, as pot smokers, be good citizens. Give us a good name. We don't want to be seen as wastrels or, you know, homeless people or something. The pot smokers I know are people with jobs and families. And we have a vote. We're part of the economy. And I think that we deserve to be legal and represented, you know, properly. And I really thank you guys. Canopy's setting a good example, man. They are a responsible company doing well. And I'm glad that they're doing this. I think this will help.
Okay, great. David, thank you so much for being with us on today's episode of Under the Canopy. Stay well and come back and see us at any time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.